today be grateful for the cross and for what it means to us. Thank you for the cross of Jesus, and thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for us so that we can stand where we stand today in relation to you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the power of the cross that washes and cleanses and that makes us clean and brings us into fellowship with you. We pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you will visit us. Let your will be done, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you greet two or three people and then you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. How many of you are thankful for the blood of Jesus? How many are glad that Jesus died for you? Raise up your hand, let me see. You are glad that somebody died because of you. Raise up your hand, let me ask that question again. You are glad that somebody died because of you. Hallelujah. So the next question you should ask yourself is that, considering that somebody died for you, do you have the appropriate response to that person? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Have you responded appropriately to someone who died for you? Because I think that as we continue to hear that Jesus died for us, it gets to a point where it becomes just language. It's just a way of talking. Do you see what I'm saying? But think about it. Somebody died because of you. Not that he was wounded or that he got sick a little bit or had malaria for 1 week because of you. But he died because of you. Hallelujah. Have you even sat up to think about what it means? That how can I even say thank you to such a person? Are you getting what I'm saying? How can I even show this person that I appreciate what he did for me? Because even when someone gives you a ride home and does it a few times, sometimes you want an opportunity to show that you are grateful. Is it not true? Yeah. Even when someone takes you out to lunch or for dinner, the person goes home and you send them a text message just to say thank you for the dinner. So the person who dies for you, what does he deserve from you? What does he deserve from you? The one who gives his whole life because of you. What does such a person deserve from you? What is an appropriate response to such a person? Are you getting what I'm saying? And when you begin to think about it, it must make you, if you're thinking correctly, you will often realize that your response falls far short of what has been done for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why we're sharing the things we're sharing during the season. Amen. Yesterday, I was sharing with you about losing. Take up your cross. Hallelujah. And we can start from there tonight. Matthew chapter 16 is the book and chapter. And then we started reading, I think it was from verse 21. Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 21. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you responding appropriately to Christ who died for you? What did they say? They think so. What did they say? Oh, they didn't mind you. Okay. Matthew chapter 16 and from verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Hallelujah. You should beware of people who discourage you from suffering or losing something because of Christ. Hallelujah. Because according to this verse, they are not speaking with the voice of God. They are speaking or being actually inspired and used by Satan to stop you from losing something for the sake of Christ, whom you say you are happy he died because of you. Hey, think about it. If you stood anywhere, let's say one of your relatives died, and then at the funeral you announce, "I'm so happy he died." They will say you are a witch. They'll say you must know something about this death, especially if the person died young. Hallelujah. Even when people die at 89, we are not supposed to say at the funeral, "I'm so happy she died." Even when someone dies at 95, you know, some people live very, very long. 101, 102, and they die. Even then, you are not supposed to say that, "Praise the Lord, he has died." But tonight you are sitting in the house of God. And when I ask the question, how many of you are glad he died? You raise your hand and say, "I'm glad he died and he died for me." Wow. That is okay. But then I'm saying that what are you also doing as an appropriate response to someone who lost his life because of you? Are you getting what I'm saying? So when Jesus started talking about the process and what he had to go through to lose his life and be killed, then Peter took him aside and said, "No, as long as it involves losing something, it shouldn't happen. As long as it involves suffering, it shouldn't happen. As long as it's going to cost you something, then you don't have to do it. As long as it's going to cost you some time, as long as it is far from where you live, do you see? As long as it's going to mean that you can't watch a movie, or as long as it means that you won't get to sleep long enough, no, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. But I'm glad he died anyway. As for him, I'm glad he died. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he lost his life because of me. But for me to lose 2 hours of my sleep because of him, no way. He doesn't deserve 2 hours of my sleep. I don't have to lose any money because of him. I don't have to lose any energy because of him. I don't have to be mistreated in any way because of him. I don't have to suffer or go through any kind of inconvenience. I don't have to be stranded because of him. Why should I be stranded? No, in him rather, I should avoid being stranded. So when in Christ, we encounter difficulties and we encounter some challenges, and we encounter what we even call disappointments. But those things are disappointments to us more because of our lack of understanding of what we have entered, rather than that the thing is a disappointment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because our theology and our understanding of God has not included the fact that in him we will also have to suffer losses, and in him we would also have to go through some things because of him. Because he died for us and he set an example for us, you know, of what it means to be a child of God, of what it means to be the Son of God. Hallelujah. Do you know that Christ was the Son of God? Do you know that Christ was very, very much the Son of God? Do you know that? And so if the Son of God would go through those things right before the eyes of God, and God does not change that. You see, even Jesus prayed specifically. He asked the Lord, he said, is it possible to change this thing? You know, he said, let this cup pass away. I don't want to go through this thing. And God turned his attention away from his son. That is why Jesus said on the cross, why have you forsaken me? Do you remember Jesus said something like that? Yesterday, somebody was reading it here, where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Why is it that I prayed that this cup should pass over me, that I don't have to go through something like this, and you have not answered that prayer? So if you also pray, and God still allows whatever it is that you are trying to prevent by your prayer to happen, you are not supposed to get angry, because you are not the only child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Jesus was also the Son of God. Hallelujah. And what he did and the suffering he went through that brought benefits to you, that you are happy and proud of. What about the suffering you have to go through that brings benefit to another person? What about the difficulties that you also have to go through that brings benefit to another person? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So a Christianity or a faith that seems to avoid or even classify, once something is difficult or something is going to bring inconvenience or something is going to confer some amount of suffering and amount of discomfort on a person's life, we tend to shun those kinds of things and tend to move away from those kinds of things, forgetting that that is exactly what Jesus had to go through for you to have the changed life that you have, for you to be the changed person that you have become. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For you to have the transformed life that you have, for you to have the hope that you have, for you to be the person you have become. Hallelujah. Many of us have a past we are not proud of. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of us have a past we are not proud of. Some of us even have a future we are afraid of because of a past we have had. We are scared of the future. We are wondering how it will be like when I get there, when it's my turn, when I also become somebody's wife, when I become the wife, how will it be in my case? Knowing what I also did when somebody else, or when it was somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are afraid of the future because of the past. But somebody died for you. Do you understand? To erase that past. He shed his blood for you so that something will, like a curtain or like a big sheet, will be drawn over the past. And because that thing has come over the past, suddenly your fear of the future is gone away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Suddenly you do not have the fear of the future. Somebody sent me a text yesterday. The person said that, is it possible? How is it possible that something as red as blood was used to wash something and the outcome is white? Then I answered, only the blood of Jesus works such magic. Hallelujah. Only the blood of Jesus works such magic that something as red as blood will be applied to a life and washed in the life or in the blood until that life comes out, the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as what? White as snow. And then it says, though it be red like crimson, because crimson is a type of red. And then it says, yet it shall be like wool. That is what the blood of Jesus can do. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, that voice is the voice of Satan. The voice that is steering you away from the suffering. The voice that is saying, it's too late, sleep. Do you have to go? The voice that is saying, you don't have to exert yourself. The voice that is saying, you don't have to stretch yourself. The voice that is saying, do you have to give all that money to the church? Do you have to give? You see, and the voice waters us down such that it looks very trivial and it looks like it's something that somebody is senselessly doing, taking an amount of money and giving it to a church. But what we are actually doing is fulfilling the scripture. What we are actually doing is obeying the scripture. We are actually supporting God and God's work. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it sounds more crude and it sounds rather terrible and it sounds more sinful to say that, do you have to take all that money and give it to God? Very few people have the guts to talk like that. So they'll say that, do you have to take all that money and give it to church? Do you understand? To give it to a church or give it to a priest or give it to a pastor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So how do you work and take 10%, 10% of your income and give it to a church? Well, you are talking about 10% of your income. He gave 100% of his life. 100%, not of his income, but of his life. You get to keep your life. And with that life, you earn an income. Then you take 10% of the income. How small is that? Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. You get to keep your life 100%. Then your life produces an income. Even then, it's not even your whole life. It's just a small part of your life. You see, 8 of 24 hours is spent doing some activity that brings you an income. Then you take 10%, so it's 10% of 8 hours. What is 10% of 8 hours? Is what? 0.8 of an hour or what? No, somebody, 8 hours is how many minutes? Leslie, you know all these math things. 480, isn't it? So that's what, 48 minutes. That's less than an hour. When you pay your tithe, what you're doing is you're giving 48 minutes of your day to the Lord. That's all you're doing. How long is that last Nigerian movie that you rented? You tell me. Part one, part two, part three, part four. You have time to watch all of that. You have time to watch all of that. You have time to listen to the news over and over and over again. Even the same news that is repeated and repeated. You have time to sit there and watch and watch and watch. And when you have to give the Lord 48 minutes of 24 hours, 48 minutes of 24 hours, 48 minutes of 24 hours to the one who gave 100% of his life for you. And you sat in church and said, I'm glad he died for me. I'm glad he lost 100% of his life for me. But I'm not going to give him 48 minutes of today. But he died for me and I'm happy. How unfair. How unfair. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And so Peter said that, look, do not do this. And Jesus identified that voice quickly. And he said, this is the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan is the one that is saying that don't do it. He says, you savor not the things of, or the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. You lean towards what people want. You lean towards things and you excite and encourage things that are of men. The human way of thinking, that is what you lean towards. But you don't lean towards the things of God because it involves losses. It looks like you're looking or losing something. It doesn't matter if you spend 10% of your income to buy a pair of shoes. But if you spend that same money on God and his work, God and his house, the devil says, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's a waste. It's a waste. You know, one day Jesus went to a certain place, and then a certain woman brought her precious ointment, and the Bible says she opened the ointment and she just poured it all over Jesus' feet and so on. And then there was a guy standing by there who was supposed to be one of his disciples. His name is Judas. Are you surprised he's the one who sold Jesus Christ? This guy, he saw what was going on, and when they poured the ointment, he said, what a waste. He said, what a waste. If it is being poured on Christ, it's a waste. He said, you know, this ointment could have been sold. It could be converted to cash. Because there are some people who only understand cash. Everything, they interpret everything in terms of cash. Do you understand? They interpret everything in terms of cash. How much cash will I get? How much cash will I lose? How much cash will I get? How much cash will come to me? How much cash? How much cash? How much cash? Even when they are in a relationship, they are looking for cash. Everything is by cash. When someone proposes to them, they are looking to see if he has any cash. Do you have cash? Say, how much cash does he have? The whole mind is oriented towards cash. There is no value of the person. The woman said, I don't care what this is worth. Whatever it's worth, what I want to do is, I have a gratitude in my heart that is best expressed by spilling this thing on this man. And then the guy standing by says, do you have any idea how much cash that could fetch us? And the Bible makes a little comment over there, because he said, you know, we could have sold that thing and then we'll use it to look after the poor. You know, and the Bible makes a little comment. He says, this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Do you understand? He's a thief. So there is a revelation of the person's heart. Do you understand? There's something in the person's heart. I won't be surprised if when Peter said that, you know, no, this be it far from you. Don't do this type of thing. I won't be surprised if he was saying that, not because he even cared about Christ, but because he had his personal interest. Because when you read the Bible, you get to a point where Jesus says that, he says that no one who has come to me before he even says that, a certain man comes to him and the person says he wants to follow the Lord. And Jesus said, okay, you have to do this and that and that. And the guy says, I've done all of that already, you know, so I want to follow you. Jesus said, there's one thing left. Go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. And the man says, all right. And the Bible says he went away very, very sad. Very, very sad. So when he turned to go, then Jesus told his disciples that, you know, how hardly it will be very difficult for people who have riches, or people, he said, people who trust in riches. Do you understand? People who have their confidence in how much they have. He said, it will be very difficult for such people to follow me. You know? And then he said that it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for such people to come after him. Huh. When he said that, then the disciples said, hey, then who can be saved? So who can be saved? Then Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God it is possible. Then suddenly Peter says, well, by the way, in case you haven't noticed, we have left everything to follow you. In case you don't know, in case it hasn't registered with you yet, we have left everything to follow you. You know? And so we have our eyes on something. You know? So the way you are talking, you know? So if down the line he starts to say this again, that I need to go somewhere and I'm going to be suffering and I'm going to die, then they start to wonder, and what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to everything we have given up to follow you in the hopes that you are going to multiply them? I mean, the way we see you multiply bread and so on, we have great hopes that when this whole show is over, a lot of things will be multiplied for us. And now you want to talk about dying? No way. It's not going to happen to you. But Jesus said, no. You are speaking with the voice of Satan. And the voice of Satan is the voice that discourages sacrifice because of the pain that goes with it. It is the voice that discourages suffering. It's the voice that will shut up and not give you a certain counsel or give you a certain advice just because it will cause you inconvenience and cause you pain. It is the voice that will be silent and watch you live immorally, because if they tell you what you really should be doing, it will cause you inconvenience. And it might destroy the relationship. So I won't say it. I won't tell you that even though you are going out with somebody's husband, it is not a good thing. But I won't say it. Because if I say it, it will mean so much. It means you have to move out of the apartment. It means you have to give up the car you have. It means you have to give up a certain allowance or stipend that is being siphoned from somebody's family. A stipend that should be converted to school fees and converted to insurance money and converted to all kinds of things. It's coming to you on the side. But if I tell you to get out of that situation, it's going to introduce suffering into your life. But now we have a Christianity where everybody wants to be happy all the time. You know, everybody wants to be happy all the time. That as long as I'm a Christian, I have to be happy all the time. I have to be happy all the time. But there's a difference between happiness, you know, and the joy that the Lord promised us. The joy that the Lord promised us comes from within, because it is based on a knowledge that we have. But happiness often comes from outside, because it's based on something you get. It's based and it's controlled and regulated by something on the outside. But that's not what Jesus promised us. That is why Jesus said, he said, my peace I give to you. Then he says, hold on, not as the world gives. There's a difference between when I say that you have peace and when the world says you have peace. He said the two things are not the same. The peace I give to you is not the same as what the world gives. What the world gives depends on this and that. I've got my car, I've got my house, I've got my husband, I've got my children, well-spaced children. One boy, one girl, born neatly apart and finished, isn't it? See, Michael, he says finished. Hallelujah. Yeah. Then I say I have peace. I've got a job. The job looks and feels like it's secure. Doesn't look like they're about to fire me anytime soon. You know, so everything is okay. That's the kind of peace that the world gives. And of course, we all know that that peace does not last. The Bible says people sit there and say, peace, peace, peace. Then suddenly, there's destruction. When you thought everything was together, suddenly a fork is brought into the frying pan to scramble the eggs. Now you can't tell the yolk apart from the white. The whole thing is mixed up and you cannot tell. But Jesus says, the peace that I give to you, nothing takes it away. Do you understand? It's the kind of peace that people have. When they are being stoned like Stephen, the man is kneeling and he's dying, and it's not a joke. It's not a toy death. They are not acting. This is real. The people are throwing stones at him and they are killing him. And he lifts up his hands and he's looking at heaven and he's rejoicing. And he's thanking the Lord even for the privilege of dying for the reason for which he's dying. That's a peace that comes from inside that cannot be regulated by anything on the outside. A circumstance change on the outside does not change that peace on the inside. A change in your circumstances on the outside does not change that joy on the inside. It is the only kind of peace and joy that a person can have, even though he has tears on his face. On the outside, the person is crying. But on the inside, he has a stability and has an assurance and is so composed on the inside that you know that what is happening on the outside is not about to make them fall apart. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? And that is what the Lord has promised to his people. And so Jesus was able to identify it quickly in the mouth of Peter when he spoke and said that, look, this will not happen to you. Jesus said, no. These things you are encouraging are the things of men. But the things of God are different. All of us need to become encouragers of things of God. Hallelujah. You don't have to discourage someone from doing something just because you are not doing it. Because when they do it, then they will suddenly have a beauty in their lives that makes you ugly for not doing it. But you don't have to discourage someone from doing something just because you don't do it. You have to encourage the person. You have to encourage the person. Even if there's a meeting and you are not coming, you don't have to discourage someone from coming. You don't have to tell someone, I'm not going, will you go? I'm not going, will you go? So that if I say yes, I look like I'm odd. I look like I'm extreme. I look like I've taken this church thing too seriously. I look like I am trying to become the righteous one. Do you think you are more righteous than me? The whole atmosphere gets funny. And then I see that, well, since you are not going, I might as well also just back off and not go. But rather, we should have people in the church who encourage people to do what they don't do. Yeah. Say, I don't go for this meeting, but I think it's very good for you. I think you should go. People who will even come all the way to drop people off. I'll drop you off. I'll take you to the place. I'll drop you off there because I know that this is good and it is good for you. You must savor the things of God. You must encourage and stir up people to do the things of God. Can I have an amen? To do the things of God. To do the things of God. Because it is only a matter of time before you discover that everything else that your effort is going at is actually going to go up in smoke one day. That is the truth. That is the truth. Recently, I met a certain lady who was telling me how, because of her husband, because she got married to someone who was also in the church. And the person suddenly, you know, was upset with their pastor and eventually left the church. Then he eventually extracted the whole family out of the church. Then he took the family to another church and they went there and they were there for so many years. and all kinds of things. Then he took up an issue with that pastor in that other church also. And then the person has eventually stopped the church. And the lady was telling me, she said that, look, it's been 15 years of following this man and following him around his places and his things. And now after 15 years, look at where we are. Now he's an unbeliever. He doesn't even go to church. Can you imagine that? That I gave up my life, gave up everything, gave up my relationship with my pastors, gave up everything to follow this person. And I followed him and gone round like that. And we've come back to square number one, even minus. Because square number one, at least he was believing. Now we've come to the minus in the negative. And so she has decided, she said, you know, I've decided that it's enough. I'm not going to follow this nonsense anymore. She said, I'm going to go to church. I am going to serve God. If he wants to stay at home, he should stay at home. But I am going to serve God. I am going to serve God. Because as you grow older, you start to see that the next big event in your life is really not another wedding or another outdooring or something like that. But it's, you know, the next big event is the next big event. Yeah. The next thing everybody is going to hear about, I mean, the next big event that everybody is going to hear about is not that you had another baby. No. No. Unless your baby is a spectacular baby born in Bethlehem in a manger. I mean, even that. Because that's what it would take for angels to announce it all over. But otherwise, the next big event that the whole world is going to hear about is your exit out of this place. And as you grow older, you begin to see and begin to question, has it been worth it? Has it been worth it? Has it been worth it? How have I lived? What have I done for God? For the person who died for me, of which I am so glad and proud, what have I done for that person? Or because it was going to hurt a little, I didn't do it. Because it was going to cost me a little sleep, I didn't do it. Because it was going to cost me a little money, I didn't do it. Because it was a little further than I bargained for, I didn't go there, I didn't do it, I didn't participate in it. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you tonight? You begin to see that these things become important. So when the lady said, look, I'm not following this thing anymore. I'm now going to serve the Lord. I'm going to go to church. Because after all these years of following everything and following and trying to keep my family together, today my family is more apart than it would ever or ever could have been. She told me, my son is over here. My other son is over here. And my other son is over there. And my daughter is over here. Said, and this is how they think of me. The children have even turned away from their mother. Yeah. Their children have even turned away from their mother. I met another man recently. He told me that one big problem I have now is that my children don't want to see their mother. He said, that's my big problem now. So I've been talking to them. He said, sometimes I tell them, call their mother. I tell them to call their mother. And they say they will call. When I turn around, they won't call. You know? So he said, now I've resorted to calling their mother myself and then giving the phone to them. Say, here, your mother is on the call. Talk to your mother. Then they take the phone and talk to their mother a little bit. And there's almost nothing to say. And then they hang up. And I'm just thinking, this mother, these children, at some point, may have been everything to her. They may have been the reason why she wouldn't go to church. They may have been the reason why she wouldn't pay her tithe. She should have been the reason why she wouldn't join anything in the church. Because everything was my children, my children, my children, my children. Now today, now that she's grown up, and now that her children can even mean something to her, you should see how the children have now turned and turned. Everything has just gone up in smoke. But that's not news. That's what Jesus said right here. If your Bible is still open to that place, you will see that Jesus was talking about it right here. He said to Peter that if any man will come after me, verse 24, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25. Then he says, because whoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, the reason, if anybody wants to follow me, they should deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Then he says, because anybody who tries to save his life, you know, the way in Christ, the way to lose your life is to try to keep it. The way to mess it up is to preserve it from messing up. If you believe those other upside down scriptures I was sharing with you yesterday, if you truly believe that the way to have is to give, if you truly honestly believe, Amma, do you honestly believe that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Are you sure that to part with something brings you more blessing than to receive something? Do you honestly believe that? Then you have to believe this one also, that the way you mess it up, the way you spoil it, the way you destroy it, is by preventing it from being destroyed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And then he says that whoever will lose his life for my sake, because Christ knows that some people are going to lose it anyway, but for stupid reasons. That not every losing of the life, because there are so many of us who do so many things. It is not always because of church that you didn't sleep well. Church is not the only reason why you don't sleep for 8 hours. Facebook, Skyping, and talking to people. Yeah. Skype, Facebook, what's the other one? WhatsApping. You know, and texting, and just browsing around the internet, and one website leading to another, and one website so you are losing your life anyway. And Christ says, listen, don't blame me for that one. And there's no blessing for that loss. And Christ is not obliged to make that loss up to you in any way. He's not obliged to make that up to you. But he says, if you lost it because of me, if you lost it because of me, if you lost it because of me, if you don't have it, or if it appears to be getting spoiled because of me, if it's because of me, that's the thing is the way it is, then I promise you, he said, you will find it. Wow. Yeah. He said, you will find it. If you lose it because of me, you will find it. You will find it. Hallelujah. I have prayed always to the Lord that help me not to put anything before you. Jesus said that anybody who loves his mother or father, or loves his wife, or loves his children more than me. More than me. More than me. If I put Christ and my children above Christ. You know, I mean, I love my children, but I cannot put them above Christ. And I'm sure they know it. I cannot put them above Christ. Because the way to lose them, the way to destroy them, is actually to choose them above Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I also feel it. When I just come from a trip and I just put my bags down, and it's like the next day I'm on a plane again. The other day I was even on a plane and they were bringing some food, and I'm sick of this food. I'm just sick of this thing. Just take it away. Yeah, just take it away. Don't come here again with this thing. Yeah. Plastic food. You see that the food, I mean, I was just asking myself, this food has been served nicely and everything. But I was just thinking, how can this food come from this kitchen? Where is the kitchen in this plane? Where is the kitchen in this plane? Where is it? Where is the sink? Where is the place? If this piece of meat falls to the ground right now, what will happen? But I feel it. I also feel it. I feel it when I have to take my bags and I have to put them together and go again. And I feel it all the time. I told you the other day, the last flight I was on, not the last one, last but one or two, the flight was flight 370. I said, what a time to fly on flight 370. It's not a time to be on a flight any number but 370. I was saying to myself, if there was a way to drive from where I am home, I tell you, I would have driven. If there was a route, it doesn't matter how many days it takes me. If there was only a route, I would have driven back to my house. But there's no other way to do it. And all you have to do is to commit yourself to the Lord. Do you understand? And trust that He will keep them. Trust that He will keep your child. Trust that He will keep your wife. Trust that He will keep the church. And trust that He will keep everybody. You just have to trust the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, you can't be too careful. Do you understand? You can't be too careful. Can you imagine if you were standing somewhere around your house and you saw an ant busily gathering things together and trying to protect them from being destroyed? How would you feel as you stand over the ant? What is she doing? And that's how God feels about some of the little things we are doing. To try to secure ourselves, to try to make sure that we have the best life possible. You know, God is just looking at you and He just watches how you. Have you seen that before? Have you seen in your house when the ants get a piece of food, just some, and they all line up and about five of them are gathered around and it's like, we are not losing this thing and we are bringing it all the way down to our hole. Yeah. And you just look at it. And sometimes you play the game of just crumbling the whole thing. You just touch the middle of it. And when you touch the middle, they all run away and the whole thing is just ended. This whole project is just scattered. See, I don't know what is keeping you busy. Maybe you're trying to get an education. Maybe you're trying to work and school. And throw in a beloved at the same time. You get it? So there is the work and the school and then there's a beloved and you're trying to keep it all together. And because of that, your relationship with God is suffering. But you are just like an ant who is just trying to gather all these things. You are at the mercy of just one little finger just coming to the middle of it all. And everything will just fall apart. Then you realize that, really, Jesus said it. Because in the end, you will find, in the end, when it's all played up, you understand? In the end, as I'm growing older, I'm seeing more the conclusions of more things. You see what I'm saying? When you are younger, I don't mean like I'm so old, but you see, I'm old enough to have hair. And that's old enough. What I mean is that I'm seeing more conclusions. When you're younger, you just see more beginnings. You see more things that started and more moves that people made. But you don't know how they ended. Do you understand? But as you grow older, because everybody in your class and in your level, you see that at your level that you see maybe some small conclusion. Like the people who were in class with you. Of course, don't you know some of your classmates, when the teacher is speaking, they will say something funny. You know, they won't do their assignments. Sometimes they won't come to class and it looks like it's trendy not to go to class. You go, and they look like the cool ones. I mean, when there's an assignment, they won't do the assignment. When the teacher comes and the teacher is asking for the assignment, they are like some cool ones. They didn't do the assignment. And the teacher stands there helpless. He can't do anything. You get it? Now, fast forward, you look at the way their lives have turned out. Many of them don't even get to go to college at all. And they are sentenced to lives of repairing things. And, you know, sometimes when I see people doing some of the lower things, right, you just wonder, didn't they all have an opportunity to go to school? At least in this country. And you see some of them wiping the tables of their classmates. Their classmates have come to eat and then they have come to wipe the table after that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you understanding my message tonight? I pray that you will not shun the opportunity to lose something for Christ. It's not every day that you will lose something for Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not every day that you will lose something for Christ. But when that day comes, don't avoid it. When you have to go through something, don't dodge it. Go straight through it. Go through it. Because it's also part of the faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's also part of the faith. I want to share with you Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29 before I close. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. He says, for you, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to do what? To suffer for his sake. Hallelujah. Please, I want you to note that what we are talking about tonight is about those last three words. For his sake. For his sake. It's not just suffering. God is not just interested in watching you suffer. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he's talking about the things that you go through for his sake. For his sake. And for his sake, you will have a lot of things that you have to endure. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for unto you, everybody read that with me. 1, 2, 3, go. For unto you, it is giving in the behalf of Christ, not only to do what? Not only to believe on him. Ask your neighbor, do you believe in Christ? What did they say? Demand an answer. Tell your neighbor, this type of, when I sit next to you and I ask you a question, you don't mind me. I'm not tolerating that anymore. Tell your neighbor right now. I'm not having that anymore. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor one more time, do you believe in Christ? Then point to the scripture and say, the Bible says it's not the only thing. Hallelujah. Believing in Christ is not the only thing. That's not the only thing God has called you onto. He says it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's also from Christ. It's also from Christ. You have also been given the duty of suffering for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. You've been given the duty of suffering for the sake of Christ. Of losing a relationship for the sake of Christ. Yeah. Of someone turning their backs on you after relating with them for so many years. But them leaving you because you go to church too much. Because you love the Lord too much. Because you pay tithe in the church. I know someone whose husband was very upset with her because she paid tithe in the church. Said, no, why should you pay tithe to the Lord? Hallelujah. God has ordained for us that our walk with him will take us through some difficult camps. But he expects us to continue. And the Bible says, the one who is faithful until the end, he will receive a crown of life. Hallelujah. I pray that when your walk with the Lord takes you through those curves, you do not try to get away from them. Hallelujah. Many times you cannot get away from something like that without stepping out of the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Without, you cannot, when God has arranged something for you, trying to avoid it will often put you outside His will. Amen. It will often put you outside His will. But if you know enough, you should know that the best place for you as a child of God is in the heart of His will. Whatever God has for you, whatever God has prepared for you, embrace it. Hallelujah. Embrace it. As we are in this church, we need people to help to build it. Amen. We need people to help to build it. And if we're going to build the church, it's going to cost us something. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's going to cost us something. It cost us something to come here to come and start a church. Do you understand? It cost us something. Daily worryings and daily burdens and daily concern. Will it work? Do you understand? See, today you are in the church and you are blessed by the church. And you are so glad that there was a church here, or that there is a church here. You know, you can say, I'm so glad, just the same way you said that I'm glad Jesus died. You get it? You're so glad that there is a church in this place. And I don't blame you. It's okay. But what I'm saying is that it costs something. Hallelujah. It costs something. It costs a life. See, for you, maybe this church thing is just a part-time thing for you. What I mean is that it's something you do in the evenings when you have time. Do you get it? But it costs a life. For me, it's not a toy. Did you see what I'm saying? It cost my whole life. Do you get it? It cost my whole life for you to have a church that you attend sometimes. That is the reality. It cost my whole life. I don't have a spare life anywhere. This is it. So when I come here and you don't come, what? It's like my life. Is this what I give my whole life for? Are you understanding what I'm saying? But that's what it takes. That's what it takes. You see, I'm not unhappy. I'm so glad that I have an opportunity even to do something like this. But what I'm saying is that it costs something for you to have what you have. And it will also cost you something for others to have what they must have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So I've done my part. Now it's time for you also to contribute your part. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because for the church to go to the next level, you will also have to pitch in and put in your sacrifice. Amen. You will also have to put in your sacrifice. The church will be built on your back also. And the Bible says Christ did this for us and left us an example that we should also follow in His footsteps. Can I have an amen? Let me read that verse with you before we close. First Peter. Oh, wow. Are you learning something tonight? Are you glad you came to church? Or are you angry with me? Well, I hope you are not, because even if you are, I'm about to finish. So it won't last. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just tell you the verses in 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, pray that I find it. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Is that the verse? What is it saying? Ha, all right. That's the verse. Okay. Pastor Munene, put it up there, please. Oh, it's Doreen. Doreen, you are sharing the verses. Okay. Were you called? That because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Huh? Wow. Isn't that very powerful? Do you think that verse is talking about you? Huh? 1 Peter. I think I'm reading the wrong place. 1 Peter. Yes. For hereunto were ye called. This is what you have been called to. Then it says, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Do you see? Do you have a colon after that? Then it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Can you see that? But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Then it says, who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead or non-responsive, do you understand, to sins, should live unto righteousness. Then it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I just wanted to come to this point. It says that by the stripes of Christ, you were healed. Now, if that is supposed to be an example, then I suppose what the Bible is saying is that you will also have some stripes that will bring healing to somebody else. Is that not what it's saying? Who has another version? Doreen, do you have another version? Do you have another version? Just any other version of the Bible. Anybody has another version? Anybody has another version? Gloria, do you have another version? You don't. All of you who have iPads, you don't have other Bibles? By his wounds. I want the whole passage. Who else has? Patience, what do you have? The Message. Okay, read it. Let's see. What does it say? 21, yes. This is the kind of life you've been invited into.
The kind of life Christ lived.
The kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way.
So you would know that it could be done.
So you would know that it could be done.
And also know how to do it step by step.
And also know how to do it step by step. Okay. Verse 22.
He never did one thing wrong.
He never did one thing wrong.
Not once said anything amiss.
Not once said anything amiss.
They called him every name in the book and he said nothing back.
They called him every name in the book and he said nothing back.
He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right.
He suffered in silence, content to let God set things right.
He used his servant body to carry our sins.
He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross.
So we could be rid of sin.
So we could be rid of sin.
Free to live the right way.
Free to live the right way.
His wounds became our healing.
His wounds became our healing. Isn't it?
Yeah.
His wounds became our healing. And the Bible says this is an example. Did you ever use any of those math books where before they give you the problems, they give you number one, it's an example. To show you how the rest of it is supposed to be solved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sandra, Christ has given us an example. Derek, Christ is saying that by his wounds, other people were healed. So you need to have some wounds too, brother. You should expect to have some wounds for Christ's sake. And by that, others will also be healed. Say amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close tonight. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads tonight and let's pray. You know, I want you to pray tonight for grace and ask God for grace and say, Lord, the Bible said they called him names. Some of us are ashamed because people call us names. Because we know Christ or because we go to church, people call us names and we don't like it. And we threaten, you know, even when something goes amiss a little bit, we threaten. But the Bible says when he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't threaten to leave. He didn't threaten to quit. He didn't threaten to back out. But some of us threaten. We threaten to leave the marriage, threaten to leave the church, threaten to stop everything we are doing. All these kinds of things are not Christ-like. But tonight, God is speaking to us and God is showing us that he'll set an example for us. Christ is our example. Just bow your heads, everybody, and just pray and just say, Lord, please help me. Just pray. I want to hear you praying. Just lift up your voice and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, it's not fair. It's not fair that you would give your whole life for my sake. And I would give nothing for your sake. Or I will give something or anything as long as it cost me nothing. As long as it doesn't cost me some sleep, cost me some time, cost me some gas, cost me mileage on my car. As long as I don't have to go through any of those kinds of things, I will do it for you. But Lord, if it's going to cost me anything, then think about somebody else. If it's going to cost me anything, then think about somebody else. If it's going to cost me anything, Lord, then think about somebody else. Is that where we are tonight? Pray and ask the Lord and say, Lord, please, just help me. I want to take up my cross. Oh, yes. I want to take up my cross and follow you. I want to take up my cross and follow you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, God, we pray for grace to be upon us. Help us to be people who will walk, oh God, according to the path that you have laid out for us. Who will walk according to the path that you have laid out for us, oh God. That we may do your will. That whatever you have laid in our path, whatever sufferings, whatever losses we have to go through, oh God, that you will help us to go through them in the name of Jesus. 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 May we not guard our lives so much. May we not guard our families so much. May we not guard our monies and our possessions and the things that have come from you. May we not guard them so much that we are not prepared to lose any of it for your sake. Because you have promised that if we lose it because of you, we will find it. If we lose it because of you, we will find it. If we lose it because of you, we will find it. I pray in the name of Jesus and thank you for your blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we're healed. Tonight, if you're here and you're sick in your body, I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you. If you're sick anywhere in your body, I want you to come to me right now. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing. If you are sick in your body, just come forward and join me here. I believe that the power of God is here to heal us in the name of Jesus. Yeah, just stand right here and face me, please. Thank you. Just thank you. That's right there. It's okay. Yeah. Yes. If you are sick in your body, just come and join her as we pray in the name of I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I send my word and I heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Sing it again. I am the Lord, your healer.
I am the Lord.
Oh. You are the Lord that healeth me.
That healeth me.
Yes, you are.
You are the Lord, my healer.
You sent your word.
You sent your word.
And you healed my disease. Oh, you are the Lord. Sing, you sent your word.
You sent your word.
And you healed my disease. Yes, you are.
You are the Lord, my healer.
Oh, you sent your word.
You sent your word.
And you healed my disease. Lord.